to me, I think this exhibition shows the magnificence of the arts that we have in Vanuatu, and in particular in this area of southern part of Malekula, where the culture is still alive.
Masalana Bong is the director of the Vanuatu Cultural Centre. He's in Canberra for the opening of the Custom Art of Vanuatu exhibition.
I am proud of these exhibitions because maybe it will tell visitors, outside visitors, how we live through these objects that are exhibited here. And also I believe that this exhibition will send a message to outside world that we have own cultures, and we want to tell outside worlds also the importance of our traditional knowledge. Even though we are living now in a world of mass media and web.
The exhibition's curator, Crispin Howarth, says the practice of custom permeates every aspect of life in Vanuatu. It's about honouring and respecting your ancestors, your relatives, your community and your environment. Over 50 works are on display. Sculptures and masks made from wood, feathers, pig tusks, mud and stone. Most were collected in the early 70s, before the National Gallery was built, and have never been shown before. As anthropologist Kirk Huffman explains, the objects reflect traditional beliefs and values.
For me, they represent spirit worlds that are incredibly complex, incredibly profound, and the spirit worlds still exist and are still relevant for life today in Vanuatu.
Kirk Huffman is a former director, now honorary curator at the Vanuatu Cultural Centre.
Half of the objects on display were collected in the early 70s by the French linguist Jean-Michel Charpentier in southern Malekula. And I had just, at 73, I just arrived on Malekula from Cambridge University and helped Jean-Michel to pack them up as they were being sent off. And then I went off to do my work on Malekula with cultures there. And I worked with many of the same groups and stuff. And then afterwards, when I became curator of the National Museum in the Culture Centre, from 1977 onwards, work continued throughout the whole country. And we concentrated mainly on the more traditionally oriented groups. Vanuatu is just the most amazing country, Louise. It has the world's highest linguistic and cultural diversity ratio per capita. Population now is about 245,000 people. There are at least 113 different languages, probably more. Most of those languages have dialects and subdialects. Each of those languages will have their own culture.
What is the significance of these objects in the cultures that they represent in Vanuatu?
Each one has a particular role. Each one, at the time that they were made, had a particular role, a particular essential role in particular types of rituals. But some of the rituals here are for men's graded societies, some are for women's graded societies.
What do you mean by graded societies? That's a particular aspect of the culture, isn't it?
It's, for some of the cultures in the northern half of the country, you could say there's sort of a system whereby maybe certain men and certain women could be born equal, but spend maybe the rest of their lives working through a traditional hierarchy system to make themselves more equal than others, to lift themselves up in a spiritual ladder that leads from the world of the living to the world of the dead. And it's a very, very expensive series of rituals that you have to pay for in Tusker Pigs, which is the real money out there. Modern money is not the real money. The real money out in those islands is the castrated male Tusker Pigs. And then you have to be sponsored to go up these incredibly complex ranking systems.
And as you rise through these ranks, you engender more respect, more honour?
Yeah, more respect. But you don't necessarily hold more... You can't order people around. But because you are closer to the world of the ancestral spirits, and because of the knowledge, the sacred knowledge that you have gained by going up this ranking system, your words are listened to with more respect.
So some of these sculptures represent that rise through the ranks?
They represent each sculptor, and some of the sculptures each represent a particular step in that ranking system. But in those areas where the ranking, the graded systems exist, there are graded systems for men and there are graded systems for women. And each language and each culture will have its own grading system. It's an incredibly good system. And you tend to get, because you've got to get sponsorship from somebody higher up in the system to get up the system, the nasty ones get weeded out at the low grades. By the time you get to the top grades, you have naturally been chosen to be wise, sympathetic, generous, and the kind of person that whose words are listened to with great respect.
So they all have these stories attached to them, but to the uneducated eyes, they are just incredibly beautiful artworks in themselves.
The white people see them as art, but the white person's, the white man's world's concept of art is actually very simple. It's a bit too simple for really these really sophisticated, profound cultures in Vanuatu. Many of these sculptures, the ones associated with the greater systems, are actually temporary spirit abodes for a particular type of spirit represented by the carving to reside in during the time of the ritual. And then after the ritual is finished, and then gradually the spirit goes away, then the thing is just left to rot or destroyed. There isn't the idea that the things that would be kept to be admired, because they're things that are made for a specific purpose and they serve a particular function. We could say that these are materialized spirit forms that do something, that represent something. They're actually an essential part, but not necessarily the most essential part of the rituals.
Why do you think people should come to see this exhibition?
To open their minds. To open their minds and to realize that literally on Australia's doorstep, on Australia's northern and northeastern doorstep, in Melanesia, island Melanesia, we have a quarter of all the languages and cultures spoken on the face of the earth. There's about 1,500 different languages and cultures. And they have very, very profound things to say to the white man's world, if only the white man's world was intelligent enough to open its ears and listen. Now, for centuries, these cultures have been put down by the white peoples and been classed as being primitive or something. They're not primitive at all. They're highly sophisticated, very profound societies that are just not necessarily interested in the kind of things that the white man's world is trying to push. You know, they're not interested in bling. They're interested in really, really important things in life. Their societies are sustainable societies. The greatest concentration of sustainable cultures on the face of the earth, ecologically sustainable, is there in Melanesia. And there's actually something that we can learn from that.